All right, I think this is going to be a fairly short recap because not much happened in episode 7. So let's dive right in already. So Freddy says that he wants to spend time with Catherine to prove that there's nothing for her to worry about as far as him cheating or how devoted he is to her. So Freddy is trying to joke with Catherine when they go shopping. And Catherine says that he's trying to wind her up. She claims that he's always joking and she needs him to just be serious because it makes her feel like she's his friend and not his fiance. That's what she says in her little confessional. So Kat asks Freddie if when they go shopping, will he shop with her? And he says that he'll sit down and let her buy whatever she would like. And she gets upset at that answer. She doesn't like it. She says that she wants to feel like he's her partner by shopping with her. And then when Freddy rubs Kat's shoulder, she says, "I'm not a dog. Stop stroking me like a dog. I'm not a dog." And okay. we will find out in episode 8 that that Catherine is obsessed with Sam. So I feel that if Sam was quote unquote stroking her like a dog, she wouldn't have any issue with it. I've never met a female who does not want her man to rub her shoulder. I've never seen it. Like, this was news to me. I didn't know that someone rubbing your shoulder is them stroking you like a dog. I guess we learn something new every single fucking day. So then Freddie says that maybe he needs to tone down his personality a bit for Catherine. And what really sucks about what's happening with Freddie and Kat is that Kat had no issue with Freddie until he told her that he's cheated before. They were fine. She was there talking about, "Oh, we had sex twice." Like, Catherine laughs so fucking much for no fucking reason. Like, I think she's really stupid. I'm sorry. Anybody who laughs at everything, I think, is very dumb. But she was there laughing about how they had sex twice. She was there. They were joking about the balls in the face. They just had a good vibe. And she was so into how he looked when she met him, giving her ugly, ugly, ugly ass cry. So emotional when she met him, but the moment he said that he's cheated before, she has not been able to recover. It's like just a permanent problem in their relationship. And so then anything that he does is a problem. So then she asks him, how is he going to be when they go shopping together? And she's like, oh no, basically saying she wants to feel like they're working together, like they're a team when they shop. She doesn't want him to just sit down. But that's how everybody, like every couple, shops. Someone has to sit down and wait for their bitch to go try shit on. That's just how it works. And so it's like, why should Freddie not sit down when you're shopping, when you're there being an asshole, when he's picking shit out? The things that he's picking out, she has an issue with. He picks out shoes. She's pissed off because he wants to ask if they have the shoes in a size 11. And what bitch wears a size 11 shoe? How tall is Kat? Like, what the fuck? So it's like, he wants to see if they have the shoe in her size. He's like looking at a sweater. She's being really tense and pissed off. And it's like, and then he picks out a shirt and she's like, "Oh, you're winding me up." But like, why should anybody shop with you if you're just gonna be so sour the whole time? Why should anybody shop with you? So next we have Jasmine showing Bobby his music video, which is really funny because he was in the video. He knows what the video looks like. And she lets him know that she'd be uncomfortable if he did something like that today. So why is it that producers are always casting bitches like this? Like, I just don't feel that bitches like Jasmine represent everyone else. I don't get it. Women like Jasmine, they're trying to make their relationships cheat proof. As if that's an actual thing. Whoever wants to cheat is going to cheat. But they have these bitches who don't want a man to look in another woman's direction when that's just not reality. Like, why can't you believe your man when he says that he cares about you and you're the only one that he wants to be with. And it's not like Bobby was having sex in that video. It looked awkward, the little clip that I saw. Maybe I need to be a sleuth like Jasmine and look that shit up. But it just, like, who cares? So then we see that things go well with Demi and her friends. I did not know that Ollie was a vegan. Like, you know, it's like stereotypes, man. When I think of a vegan, I don't think of a black man who looks like he could play basketball. Like, that is not what I'm thinking when I think of a vegan. When I think of a vegan, I think of somebody who looks like Kat. I think of somebody who looks more like Kat or Sabrina or some type of granola ass, hippie ass looking bitch. You know, just because part of it is because I don't care for veganism for myself. It's just I feel fortunate to not have any food allergies and therefore I want to indulge. I want to indulge in the dairy and everything else. I don't want to like restrict myself. But it is really fascinating to me that Ollie is a vegan. I mean, that's great. Anyways, it goes really well with Ollie meeting Demi's friends and I'm not surprised that Demi's friends are black. Like, Demi, I just get that vibe from her. Like, she's very in touch with her blackness. And Ollie is likable, though. So Ollie, I feel like everybody would like Ollie. I don't really know who wouldn't like him. He is so adaptable. He's great in all environments from what we've seen on this show. Like, Ollie is that guy that you don't got to worry about. Ollie is that guy that you could take him to any function and he's going to make friends. He's very friendly. He's funny. He's easygoing. He's chill. He just has like a really calm vibe to him and people are drawn to him and he's drawn to people. Like, he is so personable and such a people person. And that is such an attractive quality because there's so many people who are so shy, and then you go somewhere with them and you have to babysit them. Ollie is not that guy. Like, you could put him anywhere and be good. And I really, really love that about him. Like, I like most of Ollie's traits, I'd have to say. I have to say Ollie gets like a 90% stamp of approval for me from what I've seen on the show. So then Catherine stops acting like an asshole as soon as she sees that Freddie's little funeral director job has made him enough money to purchase a big ass house that he carried her bright pink luggage into. Mind you, Catherine lives with her parents, which means that she is a broke ass bitch as far as I'm concerned. That's how it seems. It also seems that the bitch is unemployed too, because Freddie made a comment about her getting a job. So Kat sees a spider on the wall. Freddie does have loose doors, which we have never seen on the show, and I've never seen in my life someone who does not have the doors on the hinges. She opens up his fridge, very eager to criticize, and she said that it needs to be cleaned. The fridge was empty, so it didn't look dirty to me from my angle. He does have a sparkling mirror, and I think it's just because some men don't know how to decorate. I hated the mirror, but if that's the only thing wrong with Freddie, then who cares? You could replace that mirror or keep it. So then Catherine says, for a funeral director, this is bougie. There's definitely a different side to Freddie. It makes me respect him. That's a lot for someone who's 32 years old. I see a lot more into Freddie's world, and I like it. Like, fuck this bitch all day. She's literally saying that she respects him because he has a nice house, because his house is quote unquote bougie, and she's seeing more into his world and she likes it. Again, I can't wait until this bitch is off my screen. And I'm probably going to block her on Instagram. When I really don't like these cunts on these shows, I block them. Because sometimes I'll hang out with people I follow or whatever, and I don't want to see they ass, so I block them. And I'm finna block Catherine as soon as this season wraps up. So then some men... Sorry, I was just looking at this. So then when Kat sees Freddie's house... She apologizes. She said she apologizes to him for being snappy. As soon as she sees his house, all of a sudden she's like, oh, maybe I should be less of a bitch. So then Maria and Tom are on a date. They've gotten over that disagreement that they had. Maria tells Tom that he can't have any PDA when he's with her family. And Tom says, I just want to show people how much I love you. And oh, for me, I love PDA. And it's so sweet. Him describing PDA is him wanting to show people how much he loves his partner. Oh, that was so sweet. Oh, that was so sexy. So then Ollie tells Demi that he has ADHD, and she was just so precious, so sweet about it. Like, Demi is such a prize. I hope Ollie really recognizes that he has a very special woman who is beautiful inside and out. So Kat meets Freddie's family. Freddie asks his brother with Down syndrome to be his best man. The way that Freddie loves on his brother is, it's some of the sweetest. It generates some of the sweetest scenes that we've ever seen in Love is Blind history. We just don't find people like Freddie on reality television who just seem to have a heart of gold. He seems so sweet and so genuine. Like, I don't think it's fake. This man seems so fucking flawless inside and out. The way how, like, I would love to see Freddie's DMs right now. Like, the amount of pussy pics and pussy pics, titty pics, and dick pics. Like, you know everybody wants a crack at Freddie. And, like, can we blame him? Or can we blame them? Like, anyways, so then Freddie's sister, she ain't feeling Kat. She clocks Kat as someone who is not, who's bringing her brother down and making him uneasy and not act like himself. And yeah, I agree. We all agree with Freddie's sister. We see it. We don't want it either. And I'm so fucking excited. I feel like Freddie's sister is going to cock block this goddamn union. And I am here for it. Shout out to that bitch. So then Tom meets Maria's family and it goes really well. And Nicole's parents like Benaiah. And I think one of the things I really enjoy about Love is Blind is it's like overall, like these parents, the families and shit, they tend to like whomever that their children choose or siblings or whatever, just overall, right? We always have one who's talking shit, like with Steve's friends, but they came around, or even Sabrina's friends or whatever. It's very common. You're gonna have somebody who has their doubts or whatever, but for the most part, we get a lot of families like Nicole's and like Maria's who are just welcoming these people with open arms. And it's nice to see, because you don't want to have to deal with your family creating obstacles when, or just being really negative when you're trying to get married. And what I believe they do on Love is Blind is I believe that whoever is cast on the show is not able to tell their friends and family. And so I don't really know how many people tell people that they apply for the show, but all I know is for it to be such a common theme with people's families not knowing that they're engaged in shit, I do think a lot of people, the families of the participants, are really in the dark about the process. And especially in the UK, if they were not watching the American version or the Japan and the other Brazil and et cetera, Sweden that came out, then yeah, their families for sure are not going to even have heard about the show. But I think that in America, like, we all know what, or a lot of us know what Love is Blind is at this point. So in America, I feel that if people tell people that they're applying to the show, then their families should not be surprised. Like, this is the premise of the goddamn show. Like, it is definitely getting as big as the Bachelor franchise, where everybody knows that the show, that the series ends in an engagement on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, except for Love is Blind, it ends in an actual wedding ceremony. But I just think that as Love is Blind progresses, I'm tired of everybody acting like this is so shocking. The friends and family, like, it's so shocking and it's so rushed and so expedited. Because, yeah, get on board. Learn what the fuck the show is about. That's what happens. And if you have such an issue with it, don't show up to the wedding. like Kwame's mom and apparently like Tom's mom. Like, but I'm just sick of everybody acting so shocked that people are engaged. Like, I want them to just start deleting those dumbass scenes of people meeting people and saying like it was fast. Like, yeah, we know, we get it. You know, I'm here for like people being shitty, like Jasmine's mom. That's like really good ass TV. But I'm getting weary of everybody questioning the timeline when like nobody acts like this on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. They already like know this is what the show is and they just leave it alone. Like whenever I watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, nobody's talking about this is rushed because they know that's the whole setup of the show. So anyways, like I said, it ends with Nicole's parents meeting Panaya and liking him. And I forgot, I guess Nicole is a corporate lawyer, so she's a rich ass bitch. So I don't know. I hope I've read a lot of comments where people are saying Panaya has a lot of money, and I hope so. Because it seems like Nicole definitely does if she's a corporate lawyer. So anyways, that is episode 7, y'all. 2 more to go. And it's 5:50 p.m. Pacific, the time zone I'm in. So let me see if I could bust out episodes 8 and 9 recaps before, you know, these episodes are about to hit the East Coast midnight time for Netflix for episode 10 and 11. I am dying to see what happens, and I hope you guys are too. All right.